Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We're fired up. Had a great sports weekend. We're ready to talk. Let's get it on. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay, Eric Taylor, and Ray said it. It is it was a great sports weekend. You know what? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. 718-664-9098. Like always, you can shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at Ray and Tay Today. Talk to us on Facebook. And you know what? We also got the website, rayandtaytoday.com. You can check out great interview. We spoke to George Reister on Friday. You can listen to that, talking about the Oregon game and who should get in. And now we know who got in. So that's where we start this great show, Ray. We'll talk about the NFL and some winter meetings and NBA and all that. But with college football, we have the playoff. 1, 2, 3, 4, Bama, Oregon, Florida State, Ohio State. I ask you, did the 12-person committee, and next year will be 13 with Archie Manning returning, did they do their job and did they get it right?
Yes, yes, and yes. You know, everybody wants to say TCU, Baylor, Ohio State, who should be in those three? But I think not only did they get it right, I thought their explanation was right on. I thought their mandate was right on. They did what they were supposed to do. And whether or not you think TCU or Baylor should have snuck in there, I think you have to agree that a 14 playoff is the right move. We talked off air about 6 versus 8, but at least it's better than what we've had up until now. And this committee, led by the Arkansas AD, was totally, I think they did a great job, frankly. And you know, we can nitpick here and there, but we're so much better off this year than we were last year. So we asked for it. We got it. I'm very happy and pleased with the outcome.
You asked for it. You got it. Toyo, yeah, no, it was great. And Jeff Long from Arkansas, he did a good job. I think they did a great job. And the reality is, when TCU was at 3, what they were saying was, if the season had ended that day, the Tuesday before, that TCU was one of the best 4 teams. But guess what? You have to look at the whole season and the whole resume. And I think, if we're honest, Ohio State, with Cardale Jones from Cleveland, put a spanking on Wisconsin that nobody predicted, not Vegas, nobody. And it was so dominating.
Wisconsin was favored by 4. I thought they'd win.
Right. And the fact that they were conference champs and not co-conference champs, and let's be honest, strength of schedule outside of your conference, TCU and Baylor was a lot lower, especially Baylor, than Ohio State. So at the end of the day, I think they got it right. And for fans to see Bama against Ohio State and the rematch, you know, Urban Meyer from Florida.
Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, wow.
Oh, and then Oregon against Florida State, you're going to have this year's Heisman, because Mariota cinched it on Friday night. Beautiful performance against last year's champion, Winston. Let's talk about this game, though, because I just want to talk about Florida State for a second. You know, George had mentioned if Georgia Tech got ahead, and they did. Let's give Florida State some credit, 35-37, 37-35. But what I liked is Florida State and Winston, he bounced back from having 2 rough games the 2 prior weeks, played well, but I just think that Delvin Cook, the difference that he's brought in the running game, not having Carlos Williams with the concussion, I thought that was huge. And I think that Florida State, they're nobody slouches, and there's a lot of NFL talent on that team. And to watch them against Oregon and probably the 2 quarterbacks, 1 and 2 in the draft, we're in for a treat on New Year's Day.
Not only that, but we've said it before, they have that old man game. They don't seem to get rattled. They seem to play older than they are. So an Oregon team can jump on you, and you can have adversity, just like Jameis Winston had by throwing all those interceptions and playing poorly in two or three of his games. But they always seem to bounce back, Florida State. And for what it's worth, they're still playing Division I. You know, the ACC might not be as great as some other conferences, but undefeated is undefeated. You know, they've never lost. They haven't lost in 2 years. And granted, it's a slightly different team this year, but and last year should have no bearing on this year. But give these guys credit. They know what they're doing, and they're winning games.
And Georgia Tech, we'll see in the bowl games, and we'll talk about some of them today. But let me tell you, looking
that
at the matchup,
awesome.
Georgia Tech, let me tell you, whoever plays them, we got to look this up. Whoever they play in the bowl, I think it's a good matchup, too.
Oh,
Georgia
yeah, we
Tech.
Said it. We said, yeah, we were talking off air. It's Mississippi State against Georgia Tech, 7 versus 12 in the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Okay.
On New Year's Eve
ACC,
at 8 p.m.
ACC,
get your champagne ready.
Oh, yeah, and then you got Baylor against Michigan State. That's going to be a great game. I mean, there's some very solid games, but one that I really like, well, you got Arizona State and El Paso playing against Duke, the Arizona folks. And then out here in the Fiesta, you got Arizona. It's almost not fair. They're playing Boise State out here at a home field advantage. But you know what? My Terps play against our friends of the show, Stanford coach David Shaw, Maryland from the Big Ten going against the Pac-12, that should be kind of fun. So some good matchups, and Ray and Tay will make our picks, and we'll talk about it. But I think there's a lot to be excited about for college football fans. And did you see Nick Saban's face after they announced that they were number one? I thought that was great. Say, let me tell you something about Nick Saban. He is licking his chops to beat Ohio State. That's going to
be
a
classic. He's probably got this long list of things he wants to get accomplished, and one of them is to beat Urban Meyer some more. And I'm sure vice versa, right? So these guys have been slugging it out in the SEC, and then Urban dipped out and went to the Big Ten. So these guys are ready. These guys know each other. They know each other's tendencies, and you give them, what, four weeks? To prepare, almost 4 weeks to prepare, 3.5 weeks to prepare. Oof.
Wait, but you know what? We got to talk about that first bowl game. I don't know if you remember last year we had a caller who was talking about the spread of the Fresno State so-and-so game. So this year's first bowl game, what is it? It's like
Nevada against Louisiana
Lafayette.
In the R plus L Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
Oh, the bowl this year, I heard it. I think there's a Duck Dynasty Bowl. Is that true? This is crazy.
Hold on. The Gildan New Mexico Bowl, the Royal Purple Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Okay.
No. The Popeyes Bahamas Bowl, the Quick Lane Bowl, the Bitcoin St. Petersburg Bowl. They got some bowls, man.
They got some bowls.
This is what you're talking about. The Duck Commander Independence Bowl. It's not Duck Dynasty. It's the Duck Commander. Get your ducks right.
Get your ducks
Miami
right.
Miami of Florida versus South Carolina. That's actually
a pretty impressive matchup. It's a very good game. That Miami team, they gave Florida State some trouble. So, you know, at the end of the day, would you have liked to seen the top four switched in any order, or were you completely happy with the order?
You know what? You're never completely happy, but in order to win and be the national champion, you got to win two games, which means you'll face two of the three teams. So to me, there's no escaping, right? You're not going to back into the national championship. So whoever it is, whether it's Oregon or Alabama or Florida State or Ohio State, you're going to earn it. So play it on the field. I think I like this four games. I don't know if I want to add one more game. These kids play 15 games. The national champion is going to play 15 games. So you're trying to tell me you're going to give them another game. They're going to play 16 games. That's an NFL season.
Yeah,
these kids, A, don't get paid.
Yeah.
B, they're supposed to be going to class. And C, they're 19, 20, 21-year-old kids.
Exactly. And we know that's a sham. And I think what's going to happen is They will start to get regular payment or stipend, and it will go to eight. It's going to take 2 or 3 years, but it will be at eight, because when you've got a conference champion from the major five conferences every year going to miss out, there are going to be ADs and schools and boosters and fans that are going to lose their mind. And so, like I told you off air, it's going to be the five conference champions and then the three best whoever, and they'll work it out. And like, you know, if 1 year a conference champion is really, really bad, they'd have to be really bad. But I just think they'll make it work, and I think for the fans, they'll be happy too. Because even now, if you had, Michigan State playing Bama, I mean, you still have great matchups 1 through 8. And there are 8 good teams this year, too. The fans don't lose. The fans really do not lose. So I want to ask you this. Before we get to the NFL and NBA, talk some college sports here, how crazy is it that when you look at some of these football programs that they're so dominant that you've got equally in some of these schools very amazing basketball programs? And when we look at the top 25, I mean, obviously you got Kentucky and Duke there, real basketball schools, although both of them are improving in football. Arizona's 3. They had a big win against Gonzaga. That was a great game. Louisville 4. Wisconsin. Now that is, I mean, if you go to Wisconsin, Ray, you are just loving it. You got the great Melvin Gordon and then the great Frank Kaminsky. That must be a happening campus at number 5, Wisconsin. So I think you said it, right? That you feel that this year, Virginia 6, Villanova 7, you feel college basketball is very, very top heavy?
Well, our Johnny's at St. John's. You saw that? 24. They cracked the top 25. Yeah, I just think it's top heavy. I think that Kentucky is just, they're a professional team. And Duke's got a few pro prospects. The two freshmen are awesome. Arizona's loaded. Louisville, Wisconsin, you know, Virginia. I think 6 or 7 teams. This isn't a year, you know, some years you're like, oh, yeah, you know, 20 teams go in the national championship. I don't know many teams that can beat Kentucky. So I think you got 5, 6, 7 teams at most that have a chance to win the national championship. Look, you got to win 6 games in March.
Yeah.
And maybe, you
know, get on a run.
Game, I guess, in April.
So number 19, Maryland, we have no hope. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Or our
Tar Heels?
You're
not
going
to win a national championship. You might win a few games. You might go to a Sweet 16, a Grade 8. You're not going to win a national championship.
Hey, listen, we got to give a shout-out to tomorrow at MSG. The Jimmy V Classic will be on ESPN, and just Jimmy V, and, you know, encourage everybody to donate to cancer, and it's always a great cause. And, you know, they should show on ESPN his speech this time of year, and it's just beautiful, and it always tears me up or whatever. And I just think about college hoops and Jimmy V, and it's you know, they've done so much and raised so much money.
Can I just say something? Jimmy V was the man. Put this in perspective. That Lorenzo Charles putback of Derek Wittenberg's shot happened at the Pit in Albuquerque in 1983. So they don't play on college campuses anymore. They play in these huge domes, and that was 31 years ago.
Can I? You know what? It's why, and you know what's so funny? That St. John's team, by the way, in the top 25, they're pretty good. North Carolina plays at Kentucky coming up this week, so that should be kind of fun for the basketball purists. Those are purebred programs, the Blue Bloods battling. So you got some good matchups. We'll obviously get into some serious college basketball talk as the season goes on and starts to develop. Hey, I want to ask you, because even though it might be cold where you're at, and it's a little chilly and cloudy where I'm at,
man,
right now,
65 is not chilly.
Listen, man.
You're getting soft. You're soft.
Listen, your blood changes. I mean, it just changes. But I say that to say, player, that right now in San Diego, the winter meetings are going on. And teams are making moves. There's discussions. Leicester is debating between the Cubs and the Giants. The Indians acquire Brandon Moss from the A's. Do you like that? That's a big move, Ray.
I don't know what the A's are doing. Donaldson's gone. Brandon Moss is gone. Cespedes was gone. So anybody that can hit is now gone? I mean, granted, they did have a second half swoon offensively.
But then they lose Lester.
And these, yeah, and they got Lester. Now they're going to lose Lester. So I don't know what Billy Beane's doing over there in Oakland.
No, I think it's a bad situation, and it's kind of messy. They're going to wind up regretting this because when you've got the pitching, that they had good pitching without Lester. So when you've got the good pitching, you just want to get a couple of good bats around so you could be like the Royals were and be scrappy and, you know, contend. And let's give them credit. They have been contending for years, but it feels like with this roster that they potentially could, you know, fall off the AL West map for this upcoming
maybe race. You know, but Billy Beane always has something up his sleeve, so it's hard in November to really knock him, because who knows what he'll do. He'll pull some magic and he'll get some young kids and they'll string, you know, Bob Melvin will string 10 out of 12 wins in September, and then they'll pull right back into that wild card. You know, I think the Angels are definitely the class of that division, but they're right there. So the A's are always really good. So what do we know, right? Billy Beane is...
No, it's early. And American League's making moves, though, with the Blue Jays and Red Sox. So it's definitely going to be... and that Indian team, they've got some young, scrappy, you know, players, too. So, and then this is the thing. C.J. Wilson is made available. But who wants to take that contract? That's the fascinating thing for the Angels.
True.
I mean, would the Mets be interested, maybe? Could they handle that?
Yeah, they could. The Mets have
been the third or fourth
hesitant
starter
to spend money, but, you know, you bring a lefty over. They've got DeGrom and they've got Wheeler and Harvey coming off the injuries. A number four starter in New York. He's pretty nice. Maybe he'd be your third starter. That's pretty nice. He's expensive, though.
Because Bartolo Colon's not coming back for them. So,
Colon is 55 years old, and he's still getting folks out. He's 55 years old, and he's like 100 pounds overweight, and he's still getting it done.
Baseball has been very, very good to me, baby. You know what I'm saying? I can throw the strike. I still love the 30 for 30 with El Duque, boy. Oh, man. You talk about doing it, swimming for your survival.
Man, that's pressure, right?
For your
trying
freedom.
Trying to avoid the sharks. Like, yeah, you know, it's pressure batting, you know, facing a batter in the bottom of the ninth in the World Series. Man, El Duque, like, look, I avoided sharks. You know, I had to get to another country on a raft. That's pressure. Like, facing somebody, so what? He gets a hit off of me. No big deal. I'm not fighting for my life.
I'm pretty amazed by that. So, you know, I think we should take a quick little break. And then rock to the beat and hit some NBA, and then we can take our caller here. We'll be right back, Ray and Tay, today. NBA Talk. Yes, sir.
We're back. And we're back to talk some NBA hoops. We'll get to the NFL at the end of the show. I know people are chomping at the bit wanting to talk some NFL.
This is the thing that we got to talk about, because, and I'm not here to, sometimes I like to bring it tough and rough. I'm not going to diss Mark Jackson, but I am going to say right now the story of the league is the 17-2 Golden State Warriors, not the 2-18 Philadelphia 76ers, who got their second victory. Congrats to them.
And not the 4-18 Knicks. We have a moratorium on talking Knicks until they win 10 games.
Last night was listen, don't get me started about the Knicks. That was hurtful last night, Knicks fans. The last three games have been brutal. Knicks have lost 8 in a row. All right.
Let me ask you one thing. Was it weird to you that LeBron was in the audience, was in the arena?
Not really, because, okay, what's going on is, and tonight is going to be royalty at the Cleveland-Brooklyn game in the NBA. Because
literally,
you're going to have, you're going to have King James, you're going to have Prince William and his wife, and then you're going to have music royalty with Jay-Z and Beyonce there. So the whole world is going to be in Brooklyn tonight for the Cleveland-Brooklyn Nets game, which, by the way, we'll talk Eastern Conference for a minute. With Brooklyn in the eighth spot and Cleveland right now at four, you know, could be entertaining. You got a lot of injuries in the NBA. Dwight Howard, DeMarcus Cousins, Brook Lopez. It seems like the big guys, Ray, they can't stay healthy and on the court, along with DeRozan and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm very impressed by the Warriors. I wanted to see what you thought, because that win this weekend against the Bulls in Chicago, I thought that was a big statement. That was a good win.
Yeah,
and we're a quarter through the season.
Yeah, and these Warriors are 17-2. I mean, I don't know what to say. I didn't think they'd be this good. I thought that Mark Jackson's getting a little bit of a bad rap, though. Give credit to Steve Kerr. You don't need to knock Mark Jackson at the same time.
Exactly.
You know, you can give Steve his credit and just let Mark do his thing.
It's also maturity, though, right?
Maturity. It's
Barnes
defensive principles. It's Bogut being healthy. You know, there's a bunch of things. Klay Thompson and Steph Curry a year older and a year
and
better.
And Draymond Green continues to get better. This guy doesn't stop improving. You know, I love the Michigan State players in the NBA. Izzo has got a good recipe for that. But one thing that I also have noticed, without Dwight Howard, the Houston Rockets are playing some really impressive basketball. And you got Tariq Black and Dontonis Montiernis, you know, stepping up playing
Montiernis,
the 4-5.
Montiernis, that's your boy.
Montiernis is tough, man. He could score. But Tariq Black is doing his thing. 16-4. The Rockets, who I did not predict to play in the playoffs, I'm writing the I'm sorry letter to Kevin McHale. Because they and I guess it's big game James, right? James Harden, he's going to take James Shields' name because he's no longer big game James. James Shields, it needs to go to Harden because Harden is balling, you know.
He really is, and you know what? This guy is really. We don't give him enough credit. I feel like he is an underrated superstar, and offensively, this guy is a nightmare. He's left-handed. You know I got a special place in my heart for the lefties. He's left-handed. He's a 90% free throw shooter. He's a 40% three-point shooter. And he even has some point guard distributing skills. So this guy is really unstoppable on
not
the offensive end.
Right, but not a great one-on-one defender. But he does get rebounds and he does get steals because he'll jump in a passing lane. And overall, I think he's improved his game this season. Really
but how
has.
Funny is it that the two surprising teams are being coached by ex-NBA players that tried their hand as GMs, didn't really do that well as GMs, are doing their thing as coaches?
No, it is fascinating. And I think, you know, when you have that basketball mind, I think in a way you could probably do it all. But I think the coaching was probably easier than the GMing. You know what I mean? And I think you even saw that with Isaiah. He was probably a better coach and a great drafter and struggled a little bit as a GM. So, yeah, you know, I still want to tell you, though, 15-5, the Spurs, they're going nowhere, ladies and gentlemen. Ginobili, they took care of Memphis, was it Friday night? The Spurs are tough, and they just
– after a tough loss to the Nets in overtime, you know, that was devastating. To a younger team would have been devastated by that, but they just bounced right back and beat the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, the next game. That team is really fantastic.
Now, I was going to say, you wonder how you beat them in a 7-game series. I feel like they have to beat themselves. I really do. So
yeah,
over
they shoot
here in,
so well.
Yeah, oh, gosh. And your boy, Kawhi, you know, looks like the vision is clear, and he's doing fine. I'm impressed in the East. You know, I still love the Bulls, but I got to tell you, I mean, I know it's only 11-11, But, I mean, how about Jason Kidd as a coach and the Milwaukee Bucks? That is not the greatest roster, and he's got them playing some pretty decent basketball this part of the season.
Yes, I am completely tipping my hat to Jason Kidd. The way he left New Jersey was not kosher for the
Brooklyn
folks. New Jersey Nets. Brooklyn Nets. You know, he played big man on campus. You know, he wanted more control after 1 year of being a head coach. And he played the big boy move, and he got it. You know, Mark Lazary and the Bucks gave him what he wanted. So he's delivering. You know, his roster is a roster that could use some more talent, but this kid, Jabari Parker, NBA ready. He's doing his thing. You know, Giannis and the rest of the supporting crew there and Brandon Knight, you know, they all have a ceiling, but in the Eastern Conference, anything is possible. So
he could put his mold on
the
team, too.
Top three.
Don't you feel like that was key, that he could put his mold on the team?
Yeah, and I think that's probably why he liked going to that roster, because it's a younger roster, and he had to deal with Pierce and Garnett in Jersey and at the same time try to work some young talent in, and they had given up three number ones in the next 5 years. So,
and D. Will and Joe Johnson. It's an old team.
Yeah, too many set in stone personalities. And this way he's got these young kids that look at him and he flashes his ring and he flashes his, you know, NBA Rookie of the Year, co-rookie of the year with our boy Grant Hill. And so they look at him like, wow, that's Jason Kidd, you know, Hall of Famer. Whereas in New Jersey, he probably didn't have that same, you know, look of awe when he talked to his big, you know, his big five or six players.
No, definitely not. And that's the thing. I mean, that Brooklyn roster is kind of weird because half of that team is better if they run it, and then the other half is better if they, you know, bang it inside and go slow, you know, with Brook Lopez. So I think it's just
who's out again, keeps getting injured.
Yeah, and they're saying that Kirilenko is going to get traded to the Utah Jazz. So
homecoming?
There's a lot of different things bouncing around in the association, you know. But let's get into it, man. It's all about football. If we start with Sunday night, and I guess for me, we'll break down the AFC and the NFC and look at the standings and all that stuff. But with Sunday night football, I think we both picked the Patriots. The thing to me that was just so impressive is that even with Brady making some mistakes and the Patriots having injuries and yada, 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 they just find a way to win the game. At no point did you feel like the Chargers were going to win. They rattled Rivers 23-14. And for me, this is the 12th straight season with 10 or more wins for Belichick and Brady. And it's just, it's so amazing. And you tip your hat, you know. And another almost quiet game for 317 yards for Brady. The one turnover in the red zone, the two touchdowns. The Edelman, how about Edelman's game with that big run? You know, they're hard to beat. They really are hard to beat. And I think by far they are the solid number one seed. And LeGarrette Blount got going again, so there's the Patriots for you.
Well, I will say this. So give Belichick all the credit in the world. He runs a program like a college program, except it's on the pro level. And Tom Brady, you know, I'm still crying over the fact that Mo Lewis had to knock out Bledsoe, man. And maybe if he didn't, we wouldn't have seen Brady for another 3-4 years.
Could you imagine?
But Denver, though, I will say this. Denver, you look at Peyton Manning, his streak of 51 straight games with a touchdown was broken. But they won the game.
Oh, yeah?
They figured out that C.J. Anderson could run the ball. Got him on my fantasy team. Oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers big time tonight. But C.J. Anderson goes and rushes for 3 touchdowns, and they are playing playoff football. So
at the right time,
At the right time. I think Peyton Manning can always return to be the gunslinger if needed. But if he could capture a little bit of John Elway and say, you know what? I lost three Super Bowls being
doing it my way, rodeo cowboy.
But when Terrell Davis came and I was approaching 40, I handed him the ball. I made some plays when I needed to,
and we won
back-to-back Super Bowls. Maybe I need to, and Peyton Manning's a student of the game, so maybe, you know, maybe 5,000 yards and 55 touchdowns is not necessary, especially when it comes to playoff football. We'll talk about Seattle rounding into shape in a second, too. But I think they are, this might be a blessing in disguise, this whole notion of losing a couple games, getting that running game. They're going to get some depth back at runner, and Peyton Manning leading this team and leading a more balanced offense.
I totally agree. And it's so funny because we were talking off air, and I do like this Chargers team. And I was asking you, what are they missing? Because, now honestly, I don't think they ran it enough, but the Patriots, they'll take it away from you. And, you know, 44 yards, 11 carries for Matthews. And I think Matthews is decent, but I just think teams like the Chargers, I don't know about the Colts. I'd say this, right? In terms of and somebody in the AFC messing up the Patriots-Broncos party or their rematch, the only two teams that I think can honestly do that are the Colts and my Pittsburgh Steelers. Because I think both of them honestly can run the football or are starting to. At least the Steelers can run the football. I don't know if the Colts are really proven yet with boom herring and running. I think the Steelers, they've got enough offensive power, and Big Ben does enough where he is not easy to get down. They've got the tight end solid. They've got the receivers. And I think, honestly, that's the only team in the AFC that might be able to sort of interrupt, you know, what the Patriots and the Broncos are cooking.
Well, the other thing is you got to win on the road because you're going to have to go to Foxborough and go to, what do they call that stadium? Invesco at Mile High?
Yeah,
you're going to have to go on the
field.
Road to those two teams. And what you need to do is disrupt their quarterbacks and run the football. And I'm not sure that any of those teams that you said can do both of those things. By the way, we also mentioned off-air, this kid, Le'Veon Bell, is really something special. He is, I told you this, and you might think this is blasphemy, but if he stays healthy, he could be one of the best, you know, all-around backs, you know, in the NFL, and then he could be the best Steeler running back of all time.
Marshall Faulk said it yesterday on NFL Network. That he's the best.
Oh, is that right?
Game,
see, I didn't even hear that. But just because his complete all-around game, I mean, I look at him and I look at, you know, Arian Foster, and they're different players, and maybe Matt Forte, but Matt Forte for some reason isn't dominant, even though he has all the talent. But those two, Arian Foster and Le'Veon Bell, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, these guys just have it all. You know, they can run in between the tackles. They can bounce it outside. They can catch. They can score their weapons from all over. They're three down backs. These guys just are unbelievable. And to lock him down with Antonio Brown, and now you have some extra depth at receiver. Ben is, you know, what, five more years probably at this level you've got out of Ben. So you just keep that offensive line. You started getting younger a little bit on defense. But the Steelers, man, I like this kid.
Bell and Brown and Big Ben,
your bees.
Martavis Bryant.
Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, we're tough.
So right now,
number one is New England, two is Denver, three are the Colts. By the way, Houston plays them next week, and they're only, you know, two back. Number four is the Bengals, which, you know, that can change because their schedule the rest of the way is tough. Losing that game at home against Pittsburgh was not a good one. And then Pittsburgh's five, San Diego is six. Out of the next bunch of teams, if the Steelers jump the Bengals from Baltimore to Houston to Miami, not even mentioning KC, but is there anybody else, do you think, that could join the playoff party? Or if Pittsburgh goes ahead of Cincinnati, do you think Cincinnati will still grab a wild card?
You know, I would have said Baltimore, but I think Haloti Ngata going down might hurt them.
Yeah.
They're 8-5. Cleveland had a chance last week, but they lost. It might be time for Johnny Manziel to get a shot.
You got to know what you have.
Kansas City is dynamic enough on offense. They have some dynamic players, but they just don't seem to get them the ball.
They don't even throw
it. So I don't know that Miami or Buffalo have enough this year. So I think it ultimately comes down to Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, San Diego, right? I don't think any of the 7-6 teams, so Houston, Cleveland, Kansas City, Miami, Buffalo, I don't think any of them have enough juice to take that last to take that sixth playoff spot.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's going to be Baltimore, San Diego, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati sort of battling. The top three are pretty solid. I don't think the Texans can get up in there. You know, they had their win, and Andre Johnson got hurt yesterday, left the field. You know what's interesting? I will say this. The Ravens, I do believe they play the Jaguars and the Browns in two of their next three games. I don't know who their third game is, so I believe they have the easiest schedule. The Bengals have a tough road. I think they're playing, what is it, Broncos?
You're right, Baltimore Ravens actually have a pretty easy schedule.
Yeah.
They play not easy, but it's Jacksonville's an easy game, right? So they play Jacksonville at home, then they go to Houston, and they end at Cleveland.
So that's a playoff game at Houston. That's for both those teams.
Sorry, they
right
end
there.
At home against Cleveland. Sorry.
Yeah, that's. I think that you could say Baltimore could win those three games and wind up with 11 wins very easily. You know, the Bengals have
I might have to take back what I said because I didn't look at their schedule.
Yeah, and see, and the Bengals schedule, bring that up. They play Denver, Pittsburgh.
They play Cleveland first. They play Cleveland. They go at Cleveland, and then they home for Denver, and then they're at Pittsburgh. So that's a very tough schedule.
Yeah, they might.
And then Pittsburgh.
I win one
you guys
more.
Have. Yeah. You guys have. At Atlanta, home to Kansas City, and home for Cincinnati.
I think the Steelers are going to wind up with 11 wins. So Pittsburgh and Baltimore could both have 11 wins. And what do the Chargers have? Playing their last two games?
Let's see. San Diego Superchargers. They probably play at least two games in the division.
They play Denver.
So, let's see. San Diego plays the next three, they have interesting. This is going to be an interesting matchup. So they're home against Denver this week, right, the rematch of the game where they played pretty well and then Denver pulled away. They're at San Francisco, and then they are at Kansas City. But you don't know what San Francisco team's going to show up.
I don't.
Oh, and by the way, where's Jim Harbaugh going to coach next year? Because you know it's not San Francisco.
Yeah.
Let's
go over to the NFC. So first of all, we'll start with the Niners. Okay. So I think the Niners are done, and I know this might not be popular to say, but I've heard other people say it, and you know, Colin Cowherd and the boy Trent Dilfer were talking about it, and I totally agree. I think Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh have messed up Kaepernick. And I think he has got to do his job and develop and, you know, and read his progressions better. But I think they've taken away his confidence, his swagger. He's a beaten man. They're 7-6. He's playing horrible. And I think they're not letting him do sort of the zone read, the pistol, having him, you know, roll out. It's like he is, you know, like this sports car, this race car, and you're not letting him go past 100. You're letting him drive at 60. It makes no sense.
I agree. And even though he had a good week this week, I think the same could be said for Cam Newton. I think both of those guys need to get a quarterback coach, a quarterback guru, a Steve Young, a Dan Marino, or somebody to just get in their ear and say, look, you're the man. You are the new NFL. You got all the skills. You're big. You're strong. You got a big arm. You're accurate. You can really be.
Yeah,
there's no reason
running.
Why.
But don't stop running. Just run smarter. Be Russell Wilson. Let me tell you something. And I threw this out
Russell
there
Wilson,
right
to
now.
Me, runs too much. But well, he does it in a crafty
but that's
way.
Because of his receivers, Ray. Be fair. Those receivers don't always get open, and I think that's why he runs more. But right now, Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck, they are the NFL's version of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. That's who they are for the next 10 years.
Well, yeah, Andrew Luck has to make it to a Super Bowl and maybe win one. But, yes, I would agree with that in the sense that we thought it was going to be
RG3
and Andrew Luck.
Right.
But Andrew Luck did his part. RG3 had one good year, and now what's happening there in Washington?
I think he can be restored, too.
The GM, the coach, and the quarterback. Of those three, who stays, who goes? You know Dan Snyder's not going anywhere.
No, I think they stay and they try to work it out. He's going to probably start next week. Colt McCoy did nothing. Would the Redskins get shut out? I mean, please.
Did you see, by the way, your boy is gangster. Your boy.
Press conference?
No, it's St. Louis.
Oh.
Your boy, did you see who he sent out as the captains?
Oh, the guys that...
they sent out the guys from the RG3 trade as the captains for the game.
Six players. That's beautiful. listen. Let me tell you something. I'm a big Jeff
Fisher. That's not necessary, though. That's a little gangster.
Oh, my goodness. This has just come across. Barry diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease.
Hodgkin's lymphoma, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That's terrible. Eric Berry, young guy, really talented. What, did he make the Pro Bowl in three of his first 4 years? Star at Tennessee, you know, heck of a player.
Yeah.
We wish him the best.
Definitely. Our prayers go out. But so let me just say this, and it's not to toot my horn or anything, but I picked the Seahawks and the Patriots to go to Super Bowl, and right now, giving up 139 yards, holding their last three opponents to 14 points, 3 points, and 3 points, the Seattle Seahawks, 24-14, the Legion of Boom is back healthy, Bobby Wagner is back healthy, their best run stopper at linebacker, and I think that the greatest matchup is going to be the Seahawks and the Packers in the NFC Championship. And it probably will be in Green Bay. And it's not to diss the Arizona Cardinals because they did get that win. I don't know if they'll get another. Although right now, they never know because the Niners aren't looking that good. But they got to play a tough Ram team and then the Seahawks again. But I do believe that Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, Wagner, and those four guys in the secondary, Legion of Boom, they are amazing. The Seahawks are amazing. That game, have you ever seen – I mean, they dominated the Eagles. That was embarrassing.
They really did. And Chip Kelly is an offensive guru, and he's got some serious talent. And even with Mark Sanchez, they should have done better than what they did. Yeah, I agree with that. LeSean McCoy looked like a very average player, and we know he's not. He's excellent. You know what's interesting, though, about this Seattle team? It makes you wonder. Now, Dallas is doing really well, but it makes you wonder, do you really need to pay the Dez Bryants of the world and the Calvin Johnsons of the world and the, you know, mega star wide receivers of the world? Or are you better off spending that money on your offensive line? Obviously, you got to pay your quarterback and boosting your defense because Seattle's doing it with, you know, Doug Baldwin and Curse. And, you know, I mean, Marshawn Lynch is Marshawn Lynch, but, you know, these guys are moving the ball, and even Green
it's
Bay,
it's a very
right?
legit
you know,
question. And what you're saying is, structurally, as an organization, as a GM, how and where do you put your money? And the money needs to go up the middle. The two lines, the quarterback, and that's secondary. When you can do what the Patriots did and you have and you put your money with Revis and Browner and you put it with the corners and then you have the safeties and you have like the Seahawks and you can get a four-man pass rush, you can win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Look at the Giants.
Think about them. They are paying Gronkowski, but they got Wright. And then they have – think about this. They have a guy, Amendola, who came off the Dallas practice squad. a guy, Julian Edelman, who was a quarterback at Kent State, who would never return punts and never was a wide receiver, and you got a guy, Brandon LaFell, who wasn't even good enough to be the second or third receiver in Carolina, and they just let him go. So you might have a team in New England that's the number one seed in the East, in the AFC, and Seattle, the defending champs, and you know probably going to make the playoffs and do well in the NFC without a semblance of a star receiver.
It's why the Broncos cannot overpay Demaryius Thomas. And what I would do is see if you can get that home count discount and make sure you keep the tight end, Julius Thomas. Because to pay a top five tight end is much less than to pay a number one receiver. You know, and it's so funny because you would think the Saints, right, that they could kind of be better because they don't have so much money, you know, in Colston and Kenny Stills, but the Saints are, let's talk about it. The Saints are a mess. That NFC West, I mean, South is disgusting. And what Cam Newton and the Panthers did yesterday, I mean, they're still alive for the division title. Now, obviously tonight we got the Falcons playing the Packers. We'll predict that game in a minute. But Ray, who's going to win this division?
Nobody. I think it's going to be declared like a mistrial. Nobody wins the division. Just
national forfeit?
Yeah,
I mean,
ridiculous. Nobody deserves to win the division. Nobody's playing well enough to win the division. Look, if Atlanta wins tonight, they'll be 6-7. I don't think they will, but they'll be 6-7. That's at least close to 500. But let's say Atlanta loses, which they probably will. The odds makers think they will. They're 5-8. New Orleans is 5-8. Carolina is 4-8-1 and still has a chance to win the game, to win the division.
What's Carolina's rest of the schedule? Let's look
so
at
Carolina.
Look at that's who could win the division. They played yesterday.
Tampa, Cleveland, and Atlanta. So home against Tampa and Cleveland, and on the road against Atlanta.
And that would
could
be
you
for the division against Atlanta.
That's for the division.
Game.
December
and
28th.
We know Atlanta plays Panthers, Steelers, and who's their other third game?
Atlanta plays Pittsburgh at home, at New Orleans, and then Carolina at home.
And so New Orleans might get that payback. So this is going to be interesting. It's going to come down to that last week. And who are the Saints three?
And New Orleans play at Chicago, and what's happening in Chicago?
Anybody
next Monday night, Atlanta, and at Tampa. So I guess all of these games are winnable for all of these teams, right?
Yeah.
So somebody's going to win
it's
two out of three and win that division.
Yeah.
But
I
it'll be at 7-9.
You know what? The Saints are going to beat Tampa and they're going to beat the Falcons. So the Saints are going to get it at 7-9. So even if the Panthers win out, they'll be, 7-8-1. 7-8-1, I guess they could win it, right? They'd be half a game up. So
yeah,
that's going to be
the question. If they win out and the others win two out of three, they can't, I guess, because they're all playing each other. But, 7-8-1 would win the division.
The Panthers, that by them beating the Saints, they just got a situation. If they win out, they could make the playoffs, even if the Saints win the two out of the three.
Yes, because they would have beaten the Carolina would have beaten Atlanta. So if – but if New Orleans wins out, then they'd win the division. Because
if they win out,
play
but I
Carolina.
Think they're going to get two out of three. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously,
okay.
See, the Falcons have a tougher schedule, and they're going to lose tonight with the Packers. They're going to lose to the Steelers. And so that's it. You know what? Either way, can you see New Orleans or Carolina? Let's see. They would host.
That's the problem. They're hosting. And, look, New Orleans isn't
Seattle
what it used to be.
Right now. What's interesting is that might not be Seattle. That might be Arizona. Can Arizona go to New Orleans and Carolina and beat them right now, the way they're playing?
You know what? That's a pick'em game. With Andre Ellington out, with your boy Larry Fitzgerald banged up.
Got to give him props. He got over 100 yards, Kerwin Williams.
He did. With Stanton being a little inconsistent.
Very
This sub 500 team could actually win a playoff game if the matchup's Arizona.
And then you would have the Seahawks winning the division, and they'd be probably the third seed.
They would beat Philly on a tiebreak, so they might be the second seed. Green Bay
because
might
win two more games. Seattle finishes up with who? They play Arizona.
Seattle has this. They have San Francisco this week on Sunday. They go at Arizona, and then they finish up home against St. Louis.
They might go 3-0. That St. Louis team is tough. I think St. Louis Thursday. That St. Louis team Thursday night. If St. Louis beats the Cardinals, that helps the Seahawks so much. That's the season right there for the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona gets more win, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, think about the power that St. Louis has because they play the Giants in the middle, but sandwiched around the Giants, they play Arizona.
Yeah.
And then Seattle. So they're basically St. Louis and Fisher is going to determine
the kryptonite.
The NFC championship. I mean, the NFC, the road, the path to the Super Bowl in the NFC.
So you got to believe that it's going to be Packers 1. If you took a rough guess, maybe Seahawks 2. Eagle Cowboy winner 3. Maybe we'll say the Saints 4. I'd like to say the Panthers, but you just don't know. Maybe the Saints hold on for it. The way the Saints are playing, though, Ray, I can't argue.
But you can't say it for any of those teams, right? It's like Atlanta could win that division. Could you imagine?
Listen, one thing Carolina can hang their hat on, they are the best of those three defensively, and Jonathan Stewart is healthy and running the ball again. And that right there might be the difference.
It's too bad that it took 13 weeks to get there. But okay, better late than never.
So what do you say about the Detroit Lions?
That's the team that is still an enigma to me because they have a chance, right? They're 9-4. They probably won't win the division, but they're 9-4, and they handle Tampa. They have a very easy next two games. They play Minnesota, Chicago, and then they finish up at Green Bay. So even if they win two out of those three, two and one, that's 11-5. That means they go to the playoffs at 11-5. They'd be the fifth seed, let's say. So they could be the seed that goes to New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina winner.
Wow.
And if they're the sixth seed, then they'd be the team
that
goes.
Well, they go to three. They go to Philly or Dallas.
Right.
Now, that's a good game. Detroit at Philly or Dallas is a great first-round playoff matchup in the 3-6 game. And, I you could almost pencil
well,
that in.
Well, Dallas would be the rematch. And Philly, yeah, that's a
well, you know what? We got to bring this Monday night score up, but let's bring in our caller, D.C., and see what he thinks about the playoffs and the Niners. Oren, you with us on Ray and Tay today?
Yeah, brothers, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? Let me just say, before you ask any questions you have, I feel for you, man, because I thought the 49ers had everything. I kept saying they're the best team in football the last 3 years. They had what it takes. And I don't know. They're laying an egg. It's all falling apart. Jim Harbaugh won't be there next year. So I feel for you, man. I really do. I really do. That team on paper should be much better than they are.
Oh, who do you want as your coach? How are you feeling as a Niner fan? Do you feel that they could win out their last three? Is there any hope? And who would you, I know you think Harbaugh is going to be gone. The writing's on the wall. Who would coach the Niners? Because they're saying Harbaugh might be with the Raiders or the Jets next year. Who should coach the Niners? Who would you hire?
Who are you going to get that's going to do better than the man that's there now? I'm just shocked that it's going on, what's going on and happening there.
It's sort of bizarre, right?
It is. You know, it reminds me of the Mark Jackson thing just to go to NBA with when he was at Golden State. It's like you have somebody that took our team from mediocrity to championship, Super Bowl, NFC championship, all the time he's been there, elevated the team. And then there's a dissension about him being the head coach. I think it's just starting to weigh out on the team. Kaepernick especially, he's not even playing like the person we thought he was. I don't know what's going on with him. And in our division, you know, it's tough. I mean, that was the game we had to win. The Seahawks are rolling, and it's tough as a division, NFC West, but, you know, to win all three out, I mean, we have the Seahawks, we got to play the Cardinals. I mean, that may have put the nail right in there. And, you know, I think that they let him go, which looks like the signs are that. And if he goes to Oakland,
they're gonna regret it.
Yeah,
I think he's a heck of a coach.
The one thing I will say, we said it off air, he's a program builder, right? He did it at San Diego, he did it at Stanford, and he did it at San Francisco. He grates on your nerves, and you may not like him after 3, 4, 5 years, but he builds programs. And you know
exactly
what?
That's exactly what
the Raiders and the Jets need, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to go to the East.
The Jets have a lot more work to do, so I don't know how well he'll feel with that. But, you know, hey.
Supposedly he likes Derek Carr, though, so he would love to stay in the Bay Area, potentially, and coach Oakland. But you know what? It's going to be a trade, though. So, ultimately, San Francisco is going to get some compensation, whether it's a second-round pick, a third-round pick, maybe even a first-round pick. So, there's going to be some GMs involved in this, you know, negotiation. He's not a free agent, technically.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just think it's you know, at this point, it's about what's going to happen next year to me with our squad. I mean, even if we happen by some slim chance to making the playoffs, they're so fragile they wouldn't make it past the first round at this point. I mean, you can't. Everybody's clicking right now, and it's up for grabs for anybody to try to do something. And like you guys are saying, some of these other teams which look so dangerous right now and catching on late, you know, you can't come into this part of the season and, you know, not really be – you don't know who your identity is. And that's one thing that San Francisco has not had this whole season. Their identity has been lost.
Yeah, true. And I think Willis and Bowman going down at different times – don't help. But go ahead. I know Tay wanted to jump in on something. But
no, I just want to ask you this. Oh, I mean, honestly, the way we are kind of looking at it, and I want to find if you have an opinion if somebody could crash this party, because right now it's really looking like the Patriots and Broncos in the AFC Championship, and in the NFC, the Seahawks and Packers. Is there any team or any teams that can crash those parties?
You know, I really think that you know Detroit is one of those teams, like I think you said before, they have the weaponry to do it, as if they're going to be mentally tough enough to do it. They, you know, with Megatron and Stafford and now Reggie Bush back playing, they have the ability with that defense they have to really match up well with a lot of teams, and so they can be a surprise sleeper. In the AFC, you know, it's even tougher, but you know, even though the San Diego Chargers are taking some lumps, I think that you have to still be careful of them, as well as some other teams too. I just wonder, right now, the way the AFC looks, there's nobody to me who's going to beat out the Patriots. I just think that right now they'll be tested, but they're not going to. The way Gronk's playing now, and then you know, they just sub somebody in there to run whenever they feel like it. I mean, they're running on all cylinders right now. You know,
it's crazy, right? A guy runs for 200 yards. Misses, is late to practice on Friday, doesn't play at all the next two games, doesn't skip a beat.
And they still win.
And they still win.
About it, though. The last 5 weeks, the Patriots have defeated and embarrassed 4 out of the 5 potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I mean, the only guy that did something was Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they really put it on them. So, I'm pretty impressed with Belichick and the defense. And let's be honest, all these guys can chirp. But the best cornerback in football is still Darrell Revis, and he's proven it this year on the football field.
Oh, yeah.
He's healthy again,
definitely.
And he's amazing. He's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know. All right, we're getting ready to wrap it up. I mean, obviously, we're going to pick the Monday night game. Do you think the Packers will let the Falcons get past 10 points, or is it going to be how many touchdowns does Rodgers get? 5, 7?
I think he's going to get about 5 or 6, but I think the end score will be something like – they'd be beating by 20 points, I think, 34-14, something like that, you know.
They have
to start to be worried, too. They can't push too hard against teams like that because you never want something bad to happen to spoil their chances.
Good point. All right, great call. Thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll talk to you again on Friday, buddy.
Yeah, okay. We might have a special guest, ex-NFL jet receiver, so we're working on that.
Okay, great. Thanks for the compassion on my team, too, fellas.
yeah, man. We got a show for you. We got a show for you.
All right, brothers. I'll take it easy.
All right, take care.
All right.
So, Ray, we close out. Let's get some scores for Monday night. Obviously, the Packers host the Falcons, and then Thursday night we got the Rams and Cardinals. I'm gonna go close to what O's got, but I think the Falcons can score on this team, and I think they'll have some pride. At fantasy football, I got Nelson going up against Julio Jones against our boy Shazam, but I'm up like about 10 points or so, so I think I'm safe. But I'm going to go Packers, and my boy Jordan Nelson gets 102 touchdowns. I'll go Packers 45-24 over the Falcons.
Oh, I love it. Well, I have the Packers D, and I have Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going up against Randall Cobb, but I'm down 30. So I need a huge game from Aaron Rodgers or
with
the Packers
no
D.
Passes to Cobb and all Jordy Nelson.
Exactly. So if Rodgers to Jordy Nelson for four, and then, maybe the Rodgers to Rodgers or Quarles Quarles for another one or two, out Randall Cobb, I'll be happy. But realistically, I think the Packers will score, but I think Atlanta will score too. Atlanta has some pride. They have some talent on offense still. Matt Ryan to Julio Jones is still one of the better combinations in football. So I think the Packers win, but they don't blow them out. I think they win 31-23.
Okay, and then the big classic battle, Thursday Night Football. I believe it's in St. Louis, right? The Arizona Cardinals against the St. Louis Rams. And if the Cardinals win this, I think they're locked for a playoff spot at 11 wins, but if they lose it, it could all come, crumbling down and miss the playoffs again at 10-6, which would be kind of hurtful for the Arizona fans.
I think. Go ahead.
Tell me what
I was
going to
say. I think Jeff Fisher can sneak one out, man. I think he can go and make his team 500, 7-7. Given that they lost their quarterback in preseason, Zach Stacy from last year hasn't done that, hardly anything this year.
Plug four.
And your boy plug
four. He's leading the rookies in rushing. This kid is great. This is the greatest rookie class I can remember.
I picked up Stedman Bailey. He didn't do anything.
Frustrated.
But St. Louis, I think they win.
Okay. What's the score?
I think they win a close game 21-18.
I have the Rams winning, too, 24-20. Trey Mason and Sean Hill from the Yoterps, another touchdown to Jared Cook. And I just feel like it's going to be very hard for Arizona to they just need one more win, and we'll see. It's going to be close between them and the Eagles and Cowboys. But remember, the Cardinals have got the tiebreakers over the Eagles and the Cowboys because they beat them. So that's their one saving grace when it gets down to the end. So it's going to be fascinating. I put the SmackDown on G-Money in the Ray and Tay Today League and Yahoo. Last year, Ray was the defending champ, so this year, Tay's trying to hold it down. And next week, I got to go play the number one seed, eat poop. So I'm going to make him eat some poop. So let's go. And
Keep it clean.
Yeah, tonight, man, me and Shazam are going at it. Julio Jones versus Jordy Nelson. Good show.
All right.
Everybody,
have a great sports week, and we'll see you on Friday.
And check out that Brooklyn Net game. Should be coming on soon against the Cleveland Cavs. Should be kind of fun. Everybody and their mama, royalty in the building. Ray and Tech.
Day in. Day out.
Peace.